Let's review the argument to this point. In step one, a group of judges and economists argued that the implied warranty of habitability will have the desirable effect of forcing landlords to do their moral duty, namely to improve apartments for the benefit of poor tenants. In step two, a different group of economists argue that the implied warranty of habitability will unfortunately backfire. Instead of helping tenants, it will hurt tenants as a class. In step three, a renewed defense of the implied warranty of habitability is mounted by yet another group of economists who argue that upon plausible assumptions concerning the shape of the housing market, rents will not rise substantially and consumer surplus enjoyed by tenants as a class will increase dramatically. The fourth step in the argument is a rebuttal. Economists skeptical of Ackerman's revisionist position argue that his assumptions are unrealistically optimistic. It would be ideal if we could settle this dispute empirically, and there have been a number of empirical studies done. Many of them cited in the bibliography for this module are by Werner Hirsch. Fortunately, they're all inconclusive. At least to date, we don't know whether the characterization of the housing market supplied by Posner and Komisar or the sharply different characterization supplied by Ackerman are more accurate. However, the skeptics, the group of economists represented in step four, do make two points independent of these, unfortunately, inconclusive empirical studies. First, they argue that a housing market functioning in the way that Ackerman suggests will not grow. Why? Because the combination of elastic demand and inelastic supply has forced landlords to eat most of the cost of improving their apartments. Here, to remind you, is the graph associated with Ackerman's argument. Notice that the difference between P1 and P2 on Ackerman's assumptions is smaller than the distance between the two supply curves. The latter, you will recall, represents the cost to landlords of improving their apartments. The net effect of the imposition of the implied warranty of habitability under Ackerman's assumptions is that the profit margins of all landlords have been sharply reduced. They bear increased costs, but they enjoy only a slight price increase. That fact will discourage other potential landlords from getting into the rental housing market. Now here's a related observation that comes out of the same point. If Ackerman is right about the way in which the imposition of an implied warranty of habitability would affect the housing market, then it is true that at least in the short run, tenants as a class do indeed benefit, but landlords as a class suffer an injury much greater than the benefit conferred on tenants as a class. So to review, the first of the non-empirical arguments made in step four is that a housing market organized in the fashion described in step three will not grow. The second claim made by this group of economists is that the supply of housing will become less elastic over time. Here to remind you are the supply curves we drew to capture Ackerman's argument. Remember that the gap between them represents the increased cost borne by landlords as a result of the imposition of the implied warranty. This group of economists argues that these supply curves, quite steep at the outset, will rotate clockwise over time as expenses that landlords originally experience as fixed costs begin to appear as variable costs, like this. Why? Well, suppose that in year one, immediately after the imposition of the implied warranty of habitability and its effective enforcement, a landlord concludes that it would be just too expensive to convert his residential building to a commercial building. So he continues to supply the housing in the form of housing, even though his potential profits have diminished significantly. 10 years later, when he's considering a necessary thorough overhaul of the building, the picture may look different. He has to take all the tenants out of their apartments anyway, repaint them, repair the facilities, put in a new heating system, and so forth. As long as he's doing that much, it's not an extraordinary extra expense to convert the building to some other purpose. That's why the curves rotate clockwise. So what? Well, the more the supply curves rotate clockwise, the worse things look for tenants as a class. To see this, assume that the demand curves remain in the optimistic positions posited by Ackerman. When combined with our revised supply curves, some disturbing results emerge. Imposition of the implied warranty will result in a more substantial increase in rents from P1 to P2 than was posited or predicted by Ackerman, and a more substantial decrease in the quantity of housing from Q1 to Q2 than that predicted by Ackerman. In addition, as the relative sizes of these two figures suggest, it's no longer so obvious that consumer surplus increases with the imposition of the implied warranty of habitability. A more intuitive way of putting these points is that over time, more and more landlords are likely to respond to reductions in their profit margins by turning to some other line of work, so that even if Ackerman's optimistic model holds for a year or two, it's not likely to hold, argues this group of economists, in the long run.